The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Welcome to Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. It is Tuesday, October 8th, 2024. 51 degrees, going to be warm today. Starting better by a cool down, maybe even a shower or two by late on Friday. So fall will probably return just in time for you. Like you throw the switch and then it'll be winter, you know, that sort of thing. But anyway, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday is the interesting time in which a lot of time is allocated to you. If there are issues of concern, things that are bugging you, maybe you've seen a pebble of your shoe removed, and you have some good news, too. Happy to take it, though. 770-5633 to join in. I'd just be willing to take a question or two about it. I might just ask you a question. It's okay. We're small-town talk radio, talking about big stuff, too. All right? 12 minutes after 6. Now then, I didn't get a chance to watch Kamala Harris yesterday on 60 Minutes, so I was watching some of it, some of the video this morning, and it was quite interesting. And I have to actually hand it to CBS News and Bill Whitaker, because I know that Donald Trump ended up turning down the CBS News 60 Minutes interview, and I thought that was a pretty good idea, given that you know how CBS behaved in the debate. But to Bill Whitaker's credit, he was not a laydown with Kamala Harris yesterday. And here is, I'm going to play at least two or three clips of this that I think are worth hearing. And one of the issues that they delved into was the Kamala Harris economic plan.
My plan is about saying that when you invest in small businesses, you invest in the middle class, and you strengthen America's economy. Small businesses are part of the backbone of America's economy.
But pardon me, Madam Vice President. The question was, how are you going to pay for it?
Well, one of the things is I'm going to make sure that the richest among us who can afford it pay their fair share in taxes. It is not right that teachers and nurses and firefighters are paying a higher tax rate than billionaires and the biggest corporations.
But
I plan on making that fair.
But we're dealing with the real world here.
But the real world includes...
How are you going to get this through Congress?
You know, when you talk quietly with a lot of folks in Congress, they know exactly what I'm talking about because their constituents know exactly what I'm talking about. Their constituents are those firefighters and teachers and nurses.
And, of course, she didn't answer the question. In fact, she really didn't answer any questions directly last night from all accounts here. Now, the interesting thing is that when she talks about big corporations and the wealthy paying their share, what she's talking about are capital gains taxes. And I know that's something that even was a little irritating to me, realizing that me as a wage slave, a very happy wage slave, but a wage slave nonetheless, like most people, unless you own your own business. And then you're a double wage slave because you pay both sides of Social Security and all the other payroll taxes, too. You know, look at it this way. But capital gains taxes are considerably less than conventional income tax. The difference is, though, is that gains that are made on investments, the investment can go to zero. And so if you were to charge income, an income tax on a capital gain at the same rate as for regular wages, that would be a real problem. Because say what you will, the wage is pretty much a guaranteed thing. You work the hours, you get the pay. But the capital gains, in order it's almost like the risk payment for being willing to invest money into companies is that you pay a lower tax on the gains, because otherwise you wouldn't attract. It's just too risky because, as we well know, taxes don't go down, but investments can go to zero. Investments go down. Investments go down quite rapidly sometimes, and you could throw $10,000 into a company and go down to zero. Happens all the time, or you could lose half. And so one of the reasons why Congress has a lower capital gains tax rate is to compensate for that. And yet, I do understand why people would be irritated. I understand why people are irritated. As an example, landlords, that's not counted as income either. You know, if you're a landlord, you're renting out your apartments and houses and things like that, that's not counted as conventional income, from what I understand. I get that. I really do. But there are some payoffs for risking capital, and that's why we do this. But Kamala's solution is to make everybody pay their fair share. Well, what's the fair share? That is arguable. And the United States could become much more difficult to attract capital under the Kamala Harris plan. Now, this is assuming, though, like Bill Whitaker said, that you could actually get it, you know, get it through Congress, which I don't think you could. But she doesn't really want to answer the question directly, okay? But it sounds good. Paying fair shares. I mean, to people don't understand the capital gains tax issue, yeah, it makes sense, I suppose. Capital gains, what's that? You know, and if you don't have capital gains, I understand you don't quite get that. And I haven't had many capital gains over the years. Of course, if you sell a house, you know, you get capital gains out of that, right? All right. Now then, as far as people don't know you, this is what Bill Whitaker at CBS News had to say.
A quarter of registered voters still say they don't know you. They don't know what makes you tick. And why do you think that is? What's the disconnect?
It's an election, Bill. And I take it seriously that I have to earn everyone's vote. This is an election for president of the United States. No one should be able to take for granted that they can just declare themselves a candidate and automatically receive support. You have to earn it. And that's what I intend to do.
Let me tell you what your critics and the columnists say.
Okay.
They say that the reason so many voters don't know you is that you have changed your position on so many things. You were against fracking, now you're for it. You supported looser immigration policies, now you're tightening them up. You were for Medicare for all, now you're not. So many that people don't truly know what you believe or what you stand for, and I know you've heard that.
In the last 4 years, I have been Vice President of the United States, and I have been traveling our country. And I have been listening to folks and seeking what is possible in terms of common ground. I believe in building consensus. We are a diverse people, geographically, regionally, in terms of where we are in our backgrounds. And what the American people do want is that we have leaders who can build consensus, where we can figure out compromise and understand it's not a bad thing, as long as you don't compromise your values, to find common sense solutions. And that has been my approach.
And of course, specifics on the common sense solutions were not really forthcoming in last night's 60 Minutes interview with Bill Whitaker. But like I said, he was not a laydown. So I got to give him props for that. It's wonderful. Now then, the big one, the kryptonite. According to Republicans, they look at the immigration issue as Kamala Harris's kryptonite, and they dug into that, too.
But one issue that has proven impervious to compromise is immigration. Over the past 4 years, the Biden-Harris approach has been inconsistent, and Republicans are convinced immigration is the vice president's Achilles heel. You recently visited the southern border and embraced President Biden's recent crackdown on asylum seekers. And that crackdown produced an almost immediate and dramatic decrease in the number of border crossings. If that's the right answer now, why didn't your administration take those steps in 2021?
The first bill we proposed to Congress was to fix our broken immigration system, knowing that if you want to actually fix it, we need Congress to act. It was not taken up.
Okay, I just wanted to interject here briefly. Remember, the border flood happened after the Biden-Harris administration repealed dozens, from what I recall, of executive orders that had been put in place from former President Trump's administration. So remember, that's where it all started. And she's talking about, well, Congress needed to fix it. Now, ultimately, I suppose if you're talking long term, that is true, but that's not what caused the flood, okay?
Fast forward to a moment when a bipartisan group of members of the United States Senate, including one of the most conservative members of the United States Senate, got together, came up with a border security bill. Well, guess what happened? Donald Trump got word that this bill was afoot and could be passed, and he wants to run on a problem instead of fixing a problem, so he told his buddies in Congress, kill the bill, don't let it move forward.
But I've been covering the border for years, and so I know this is not a problem that started with your administration.
Correct.
But there was an historic flood of undocumented immigrants coming across the border the first 3 years of your administration. As a matter of fact, arrivals quadrupled from the last year of President Trump. Was it a mistake to loosen the immigration policies as much as you did?
It's a long-standing problem. And solutions are at hand. And from day one, literally, we have been offering solutions.
What I was asking was it a mistake to kind of allow that flood to happen in the first place?
I think the policies that we have been proposing are about fixing a problem, not promoting a problem. Okay.
But the numbers did quadruple.
And the numbers today, because of what we have done, we have cut the flow of illegal immigration by half. We
have
cut the flow of fentanyl by half. But we need Congress to be able to act to actually fix the problem.
Okay. She's kind of half lying through her teeth about that sort of situation, about Donald Trump. When it comes to the wanting that border bill, that bipartisan, supposed bipartisan border bill to go away, that would have caused and actually just enabled more of the Biden-Harris just keeping people here. It would have been more about not getting people out, but allowing the people that already made it here to stay here. Lots of adjudication. And, of course, for the most part, they're going to adjudicate that, yep, that's right, you get to stay here. Here's your magic money card. And here's your bus trip or your plane trip to, you know, whatever, you know, that sort of thing. And like I said, Bill Whitaker, to his credit, you know, pressed her on it. It's like, listen, was it a mistake to allow this to happen? Because they did. That was a choice. That was an actual choice that the Biden-Harris administration made to repeal the executive orders that kept a lot of it at bay. Ideally, in the long term, it would have been better if Congress had actually codified a lot of that, but there was a lot of it that could be done through executive order. And since President Trump had great difficulty getting much through Congress, that's how it ended up working. He was able to get the tax cut through Congress, but trying to get the wall and everything else through Congress was a much higher lift, apparently, you know, the way that's going. So that's more or less how it went last night on 60 Minutes. It is fascinating, though, to see how people are spinning this, because, you know, she's talking about, well, you know, there are fewer people crossing the border now. And she's absolutely right. That has gone down dramatically in the last few weeks. And I think part of that is a consideration that there could be a change in administration that could be causing some trouble. And even there's this one immigration lawyer, Renata Castro, who writes me every now and then, says, hey, look. Look, everybody's talking about this problem at the border, and she's spinning apparently for Kamala Harris. And look, the apprehensions are down, and border crossings are going down, and you know, everything's fixed, all right. But the Republicans are still talking about the immigration issue. Yeah, but it's because they're still here. it's not exactly like the border crossings went down, and then all of a sudden everybody was hanging out in Springfield, Ohio, went back home. That's not what's been going on. You have 10 to 20. I know they've been talking 10 million for years. I think you have to talk more like 20 to 30 million if you're going to spitball on those kind of numbers. But that's just it. They're here, and they're not going anywhere. And many of them are being registered to vote. And we're coming up with the most important election ever, and they still don't have the voter rolls cleaned up. We'll have a little bit on that here before the rest of the news, too. 24 minutes after 6, this is the Bill Meyer Show on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday on KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
Jackson County, your vote counts. No postage is needed to mail your ballot. And don't forget to sign your ballot return envelope. Track your ballot after you mail or deposit in an official ballot drop box at oregonvotes.gov/myvote.
Hello. I'm Chris Walker, your Jackson County Clerk. For more information, visit jacksoncountyor.gov/elections. Your County Clerk's Office, making sure your vote counts.
Hi there, I'm Rick Schultz, the new GM at Rogue Valley Country Club. Being GM during our centennial celebration is an honor and a privilege, so I'd like to personally invite you to join our club. As a member, you're not just a customer, you're family. We have 27 pristine holes of golf, fantastic practice facilities, Train teaching instructors and programs for the entire family. There is no better golfing experience in the Valley. Along with golf, we have a complete fitness center, pool, indoor tennis and pickleball courts, as well as a sport court. Our sports center also has a miniature golf course, batting cage, and bocce ball courts. With multiple food and beverage options, there's a place and a menu for everybody. I encourage you to experience all that our club has to offer and to make some new memories with your family that will carry on for the next 100 years. Come see why we say, when you're here, your family. Find out more at rvcc.com or call us at 541-772-5965.
If you haven't picked up your copy of Bicoastal Media's 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine presented by Dusty's Transmissions, you can pick up a copy at many locations, including Food for Less, Sherm's Thunderbird Market, Dairy Queen on Biddle Road, Albertsons on West Main, The Point in Central Point, Holiday Jewelry, Organic Elements Spa, and Edenvale Winery. You can also visit bestofsouthernoregon.com to view the magazine online and see Southern Oregon's best suppliers of goods and services. That's bestofsouthernoregon.com.
Hi, I'm Steven with Steven Westfall Roofing, Inc., and I'm on KMED.
27 minutes after 6. Hey, played that clip with Kamala Harris just a couple of minutes ago, talking about the, we have fewer people that are coming over now, which may be true at the moment. Also, as we head into winter, you tend to get fewer border crossings, too. It's also pretty well known. But the theory has been going out there on the right for quite some time about replacement theory, that in essence, the Democratic Party and globalists that are sort of more or less in bed with the Democrats or else are pushing the Democrats to. The great replacement theory has been something that's been talked about in conservative circles for a long, long time, in which, gosh darn it, you conservative types, you're not pliable enough. You're not willing to lay down enough. And if we're really going to have that one world government, sustainable development, your 15-minute climate-friendly, equitable community cities, you need to be replaced with more pliable voters, and we will tend to import people from other countries that tend to have more socialist leanings, more dictatorial tendencies, and they're kind of comfortable with those sort of things. That's been more or less the theory of the replacement theory. And I'm going to talk with a political analyst here, 40-year Emmy Award-winning political news veteran. His name is Gary Michael Voris. He's currently the host of a show called In Depth at Souls in Liberty, which is a Catholic patriotic conservative news outlet. We'll talk with him about that here in the next few minutes. But arguably, the goal is to, if not necessarily replace the American population, then all you have to do is look at the Harris-Biden administration's approach to the border, which is about diluting the native population or the native-born population, that sort of thing. So people that may have remembered a little bit more about the old America, well, you don't count as much, because ultimately the goal is to get everybody registered up, and here we go, off to the races. Speaking of which, Oregon DMV, this one in Willamette Week this morning, Oregon DMV acknowledges registering another 300 or so voters who shouldn't have been on the rolls, and these were people born in American Samoa, not officially American citizens. They got ballots anyway because of an error in the agency's manual. No, there is an error completely in the system because you're never asked to prove you're an American citizen to vote in Oregon. You just aren't. Stop talking about that. Stop talking about this being it's just an error in our procedures and our manuals. No, the entire system doesn't demand that you prove you're a citizen in order to register to vote. It just doesn't. And I know that the current Democrat shill Secretary of State, who's not running for the office right now, she announced yesterday, we're going to have an audit. We're going to do an audit of the system. Well, the system is completely flawed at the core. Secretary of State candidate for the GOP, Republican State Senator Dennis Linthicum, joins me about an hour from now. We'll have plenty to talk about with that particular issue. Yeah, we're going to do an audit. Yeah, I'm sure the audit's going to be completed before the election, and all the bad people, all the people who don't belong on the voters' rolls will be taken off. Remember we were telling you this was a limited hangout right from the beginning? You admit to some of the problems, but you don't want to keep looking, because if you keep looking, you're going to find more and more. But yeah, if we had just done the proper procedures, it would have been okay. Yeah, the proper procedures that you're required to prove who you are and that you are an American citizen before you are allowed to get a ballot. But, you know, that's too hard for the state of Oregon. Well, once again, the state of Oregon is looking for, you know, more pliable voters than what they get, especially in the southern part of the state. 6:30 at KMED. Let me grab a couple calls here on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday before news. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill, it's Steve in Medford.
Hey, Steve, what's on your mind?
Well, Kamala Harris and her, the traffic is down at the border because the CBP One app that they're letting people use are saying that those people have legal status, and then they're flying in hundreds of thousands of people directly with airplanes.
That's actually a very good point. You are right about that because the system is designed to make sure that you can just pretty much take it in. And you're actually like making an appointment to illegally invade.
Yeah, that's so she lied. I mean, there's just no other way of putting it.
But you have to admire Bill Whitaker, though, didn't lay down. I was glad to hear that. Were you?
Yeah, well, he didn't bring that up. I didn't hear the whole thing last night. Mm-hmm. But the point that you made or she made in the segment you had on there was, so she said, oh, it's down half. Well, it's not down half. They're just being typical sneaky Democrats.
Well, it's being recounted or it's coming in a different way. But although when wintertime does come, normal border crossings do tend to decrease somewhat as we get closer to that.
Yeah, but it's not wintertime down there yet. It's still 100 degrees.
Oh, no, I know that. But as far as work available, this and that, there is a seasonal aspect to it, is all I'm saying.
Well, you know what? That's only having to do with workers, and most of these people are coming here for another purpose. That I don't really think that's the case, except for if it's so hot they can't make it across. So
all right, very good. A point well taken on your pebble in your shoe comment. Okay, it's a big one. 6:33 at KMED, and we'll talk about the great replacement theory and whether it's really being played out as we speak. On the Bill Meyer Show next.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your tonneau cover source. Tonneau covers are a great way to secure and protect the cargo in your bed from the elements. Styles from Truck Gear, Mack Industries, Undercover, and more. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your one-stop accessory and protection shop.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-In-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-In-Time services and repairs all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-In-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty available. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-In-Time Appliance online at justintimeappliance.com.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. State officials say they've found more incorrect voter registrations completed under Oregon's flawed motor voter program. Well over 1,200 non-citizen registrations were previously found. An additional 302 records have now been identified. The governor has ordered an outside review. The Oregon Republican Party is calling for a full audit of voter registrations to make sure there are no more mistakes. An Eastern Oregon prescribed burn that jumped its perimeter last week has grown to more than 600 acres. The Tiger Creek fire is now 7% contained as more than 340 fire personnel work the incident east of Milton Freewater, just outside of the Washington border. The Medford School District wants input from students, staff, and families about the district's cell phone policy. The existing policy requires phones to be turned off during classes. A survey link is on the district's website. Bill London, KMED News.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Deborah.
And this is our TimberTech story. We built the TimberTech deck. The deck floats into the landscape and looks like real wood. We did it all ourselves.
It was fun to just kind of figure it out. And we're still married.
Still married. TimberTech lets us enjoy a space and an experience that we couldn't ever enjoy before.
Feels like a new lease on our house. It's like a really special place in New York now.
The Hughes Lumber TimberTech sale is going on now. Come in soon.
Is your business or personal tax return under IRS audit? Tell the IRS First Response Resolution has got it. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point, your local tax resolution experts. Visit firstresponseirs.com and talk to Zach in Eagle Point. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer.
Well, you know it's Orla Stovin's Spas. We both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why. You ought to stop and see our friend.
Hey, it's Lamont here from Orly's. Now is the time to stop by to add warmth, savings, and value to your home with a Blaze King, the most efficient, longest-burning wood stove available. With a burn time of up to 40 hours, a Blaze King produces constant, thermostatically controlled heat for any size home. When you choose a Blaze King, you'll be saving big on your heating costs while burning less wood in one of the lowest emission stoves available. Beat the price increases and the weather now. Come into Orly's for a limited time and get a record-breaking 30% tax credit off qualifying wood or pellet stoves and installation. Orly's has the largest selection of qualifying units in Southern Oregon. And don't forget to ask us about our easy financing. Remember, Orly's is Southern Oregon's largest Cal Spas dealer at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
636. Senator Chuck Schumer recently was quoted, "Now more than ever, we're short of workers. We have a population that is not reproducing on its own with the same level that it used to. The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the Dreamers, and all of them. Because our ultimate goal is to help the Dreamers but get a path for citizenship for all 11 million, or however many undocumented there are here." And, of course, we've got a bunch of them right now. And, of course, this is playing right into the replacement theory. And this has been called a conspiracy theory for a long time, but are we living through this right now? Emmy Award-winning politics and faith journalist Gary Voris is on right now. Hello, Gary. Welcome to the show.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing really well, other than the fact that it seems like the border and everything else seems to be going to hell, but we're told that it's a conspiracy theory to have noticed such things. Yep. But first off, tell me a little bit about your show. It's Souls in Liberty, or the website, soulsinliberty.com. What's that all about?
Souls in Liberty is the website. Soulsinliberty.com is the website. We have a number of shows and things like that on it. The show that I'm in charge of is called In Depth. But it's an ecumenical effort, Catholics and Protestants coming together to say, okay, we can certainly talk about and need to talk about the theological differences of things, because they're not just whatevers. But right now the house is on fire, and everybody who believes, if you want to think in that term, believes that Jesus is who he says he is, then you better be doing something, because there is a malevolent force called communism that is trying to destroy the pillars of what has largely been, at least, I'm not necessarily sure I'd want to say Christian nation, certainly heavily influenced by Christian thought, but there's also an awful lot of natural law in there, as we hear in the founding documents. But nonetheless, communism hates all of that stuff, and because it speaks of God and God-given rights to man, and man, the government can't do this or that to men, and mankind, and et cetera.
Yeah, and there were rights that you were born with, and that you are not born to be a mule or a slave for another person.
Correct.
Right? That kind
of course,
thing.
And communism says, oh, yeah, you are. Well, if we determine you are, you are.
Uh-huh.
No.
Exactly. And, and besides, you got to pay your fair share, as Kamala said yesterday or last night on 60 Minutes. And, of course, the communists are the ones that are loving to be able to determine what is your fair share at all times.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is the fair share? I mean, who determines that?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So that's so you're taking it from a bit of a spiritual deal. Is one of the challenges that the United States has had on the border issue is that there have been many people that that say that it is unchristian-like, right? And many Christians, I'll hear them talk about it. Well, it's unchristian to stop people at the border or not bring in as many people as they wish to have come in. And what would you say to that? I'm sure this is something you've dealt with on your program.
Oh, sure. No, absolutely. I mean, Catholic teaching relates back to natural law. And So that becomes sort of your guidepost. And the fact that the church issues a teaching or declares a teaching about something when it relates to natural law. I mean, Jesus' divinity doesn't relate to natural law, but, you know, the day-to-day affairs and how we treat each other and things like that here on earth in our civil and political realms, there's natural law that is supreme in this. And so, for example, a nation's borders are a matter of natural law. They're not a matter of just sort of, you know, this, you know, kind of one-off OL sort of thing. When a nation, you know, a nation is defined by its borders. So when you lose the borders of a nation, you no longer have the nation. And of course, that doesn't happen in, you know, from like a light switch. It happens in a transition. And that's what's going on right now. I mean, you go back to the Roman Empire, that's what happened. You know, they, you know, little by little, the barbarians were here and they were sort of camping on this side of the street. And they went over to that side of the street, which was the Roman side. And, you know, just sort of squatters' rights. And then they attacked them and, you know, all this sort of thing. I mean, this is what, and when you get into all of this, when you get into this perplexity of, well, all these people need help. And so we're supposed, well, you're not supposed to help beyond your means. You're not required to in any moral system. You can't.
And you're not supposed to destroy your own system in order to help the other people.
I mean, yeah, why is everybody wanting to come here? Because by and large, it works. And you have at least had an opportunity for the American dream and all of that sort of stuff. I know some of that stuff was probably rhetoric and never really existed for some people, but nonetheless, it existed for a lot of people and certainly more people than anywhere else in the world and world history for that fact. So why would you want the borders opened and destroyed or overrun or not really counted? Because you're trying to destroy the nation that is defined by those borders.
Because in essence, communism, Marxism, whatever it is, everything, you know, the revolution is always the point. That is the point at all at all times. And I think there's a lot of dirt that gets thrown up in the air, Gary, that a lot of dust that is, you know, confusing people. Because Senator Chuck Schumer tells the truth when he talks about being short of workers to a certain extent. You know, for certain jobs, that's probably true. And he said we have a population that is not reproducing on its own and with the same level that it used to. That's also true.
Right, because they engineered it to be that way.
Exactly. I was wondering if you're going to go there. Okay. This has been engineered. And remember, you tell the kids that humanity, which is being destroyed, or humanity is the destroyer of the planet, the climate change issue, you know, that particular thing. And that's being sold as, you know, a self-loathing kind of deal, right? You have to agree.
Sure. You mean humans, you know, making trees have to retreat. It's just this. I mean, if there's one thing that these communist Democrats are great at, it is at creating a problem and then where there was no problem before. And then they rush in to fix the problem they created and then tell you how you're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah, the Hegelian dialectic is playing out in full force at all times. I guess my point is, though, why have Republicans not been as muscular to respond to this or to prevent it from ever gaining a foothold? Do many of them sometimes believe this themselves, you know, I can't go this far, but I think they've got a point. Is there some of that going on?
Well, I'm sure there is, of course. I mean, you hear them talking and you hear the artifacts of that in their speeches and their, you know, their words and interviews to the press and everything. I mean, yes, you have something of a kernel of truth there or a fact, you know, the American native population is declining through. I mean, well, let's see. What have we? Let's see. If I go back to 1973 and then I add all that up, there have been about 65 million Americans who were never allowed to be born.
Oh, the success of Roe v. Wade, in other words.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And then you throw in, you know, the contraception issue, which was capitalized on and turned into a lead up to the abortion issue. Abortion got ushered in because contraception became accepted. That's where the churches fell down. The contraception was never allowed in any Christian denomination or Catholicism ever, for no reasons whatsoever, because it's a violation of the natural law.
Gary Voris with me this morning. He's a 40-year Emmy Award-winning political news veteran, and he hosts In-Depth at Souls in Liberty, soulsandliberty.com. Okay, I just want to make sure people knew who you were here, Gary.
Sure, thank you.
You know, that's a very interesting point that you raised there. You know, there's another aspect to the engineering that I think our communist Democrats have been doing, and that has to do with, frankly, the central bank, the Federal Reserve. Because,
Absolutely. Because
what has happened also since the early 1970s, you can't doubt what has happened, is that the financialization and the engineered destruction of American industry, in my opinion here, when we went off the gold standard, right? We know about that. Richard Nixon did this because he couldn't have the guns and butter. It was either guns or butter, you know, back before then. And then right. With Vietnam, we had to keep the great welfare state going, and we had to keep the great military-industrial complex going, too, with the never-ending wars. And so ever since that time, we have, of course, promoted birth control because you don't need parents to actually raise children anymore. You know, parents are supposed to be there to be a cog in corporate America. You know, that's the highest use of everybody's time, not raising the next generation, whether it's male or female, when it comes right down to it. And it's very rare then for any family to be able to make it today with the destruction of currency over the years with one income. You have to have two.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to have two, and two to some, for many, many, many millions of people doesn't cut it either.
Yeah.
You destroy a country, you know, by a number of means. You wipe out its borders, you greatly depress the middle class, you destroy its industry. I mean, this is a checklist of things that you do. But the major one is that you destroy its morality. And when you destroy the morality of a nation, then everything else just, you know, because look, nature abhors a vacuum. So if there is not sort of like religious totem pole standing in the middle of the culture.
Exactly.
And you take that and you throw it out. Well, then another totem pole is going to be put there in its place, because the totem pole must be there. There must be something to point people to says, you know, this is the sort of the overriding principle of what we believe and how we're going to, you know, construct our law.
And what do you think that totem is right now? Is it what the great God of diversity? You know, diversity is our strength. That kind of nonsense that is repeated.
No, I would peg it. I would peg the sort of new totem pole as a denial of objective truth. And once you get to the point of a denial of objective truth, and this is true across every single discipline and institution there is, you know, no religion can survive denying objective truth, denying that there is objective truth. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm a Baptist and there's a Catholic dude sitting over there on the other side of the street going to Catholic Mass while I'm over here doing this, well, don't I believe as a Baptist, like he believes as a Catholic, that his religion or my religion or whatever is the one true faith? Why would you believe in a religion and subscribe to it if you didn't believe what it teaches? So, but you don't have anymore. So now you have your truth and I have my truth.
Yeah.
And I watered down the concept of truth so much that now everybody can just make up their own laws, rules, do this. How do you feel? That's all that matters. And that's what it is.
Well, look at gender affirming care, as the case might
be.
This is the, God made a mistake, and hence there is no objective truth. A woman is whatever someone claims to be, rather than objective truth.
You said something right there that I'd even go further back up the line.
Okay. What's that?
God. But, what do you mean, God? you know, who are you to say there's a God? I mean, you can't prove there's a God. So if you want to believe in your God or a God, you can, but not me. And, you know, there's an objective truth regarding the philosophical proofs of God. You can prove that there is a God philosophically, that there is a divine being and all of those sorts of things. Now, when you start to bring in, when you move beyond the philosophy part of it and you get into the theology part of it, well, now that God becomes a person and a personal God and all of that. That's the role and the bailiwick of theology. But you can philosophically prove there's a God. And, you know, Thomas Aquinas managed to do it, but, you know, even the Bible said, hey, you look around, you go, yep, here's the manifest, you know, handiwork of God right there, because where did it come from?
Yeah.
So when you have a society that the leading institutions across the board have, if they haven't denied objective truth, they live it practically as though it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's really the core thing right there.
And Gary, I think this has been going on much longer than we think. I don't know how old you are. I'm 63. But
I am 63 as well.
Really? Oh, okay. Great. Okay, boomer. You know, we're late boomers. You know, that kind of thing.
We're the late boomers.
Yeah, exactly. Generation Jones, I think more like it. But, you know, Gary, I can't help but think that You look back at what Charles Schulz, you know, a Catholic, devout Catholic, did back in the early 1960s, the creator of Peanuts, with the Charlie Brown right. Christmas, right? He was complaining and raising the alarm about the secularization of culture then, 60 years ago, when that came out, right? You know, 60 but years
you
ago.
You can peg all of this to the Bolshevik Revolution. And, you know, from a religious standpoint, in 1917, 2 weeks before that, just 2 weeks before the Bolshevik Revolution occurred, the Mother of God appeared to three children in Fatima, Portugal, on the other side of Europe. I mean, you go 20 steps more and you fall in the Atlantic Ocean. And she warned, it's the only time in 2,000 years of sacred Christian history that heaven has warned, and to send your own mother is a pretty big warning, to warn about a particular form of government. And she said in that apparition in 1917, it was over a series of six different months, the 13th of every month from April, March to October. I'm messing my stuff. October 13th was the last one. Last apparition, and she made the sun dance in the sky. It was on the front page of the New York Times October 14th as a sort of an affirmation of what she was saying. It's called the miracle of the sun. And she said, Russia, you know, if men do not amend their ways, Russia will spread her errors throughout the world.
Mm.
Well, and then 2 weeks later, the Bolshevik Revolution happened. Now, these three little kids in Fatima, Portugal, they were two little girls, 12 and 10, and I'm sorry, 12, 9, and 8. The bookends were little girls, and the middle one was a little boy. They're saints now in the church. Really? Three little peasant children who haven't even reached their teenage years are, you know, telling you what's going to happen with Russia? In 1917, really, and then 2 weeks later, the Bolshevik Revolution happens. That Bolshevik Revolution was originated, I mean, it came into fruition, from the insanity of Karl Marx, who hated religion, specifically Catholicism and Christianity in general, hated it. Absolutely hated it.
But you also have to remember that American financiers ended up financing a lot of this Bolshevik Revolution, too.
Oh, of course they did. Yeah, absolutely they did. Why wouldn't they? You know, when you're looking at something from just a bottom line, natural, hey, how much money, you know, can be made or not avoided being lost or whatever your algorithm is you're running something through, it's generally a pretty, you know, it's generally a pretty cold, decisive, boom, do this and you make money. Do that and you won't lose as much. And that's it. It really is that, you know, but when you're making a decision like that, apart from objective truth and natural law, well, eventually those chickens are going to come home to roost. And here they are. You have an entire, probably two, if not more than two generations that have not the slightest idea of anything about how human history, nothing. They know nothing. And it's frightening. I'm like, well, what do you think? How do you think this is going
to
turn out?
Yeah, I was going to ask you there because do you think that that it comes to people of faith and spiritual knowing are going to, is it going to be the Benedict option, which I think Rod Dreher had talked about, you know, a former National Review guy. He wrote a book about that a number of years ago. Right. I don't know if you wear that one.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. No, I mean, that's the problem with the Benedict option. I mean, you know, first of all, it's, you know, you know, it's named after St. Benedict, who went into the forest and, you know, wanted to withdraw from the world. And, you know, and became so holy in the forest that he went out, and, you know, became the father of Western civilization. So it isn't really a Benedict option in that sense. But the other thing is, you know, the Son of God did not command his followers to go into a forest. They're to go out into the world to preach and teach and, you know, and teach them everything I have, you know, I've told you. And,
well, dare I say, pick up a sword if need be.
Sure. Absolutely. Huh. Yeah. I mean, St. Paul tells us that, you know, repeatedly.
Yeah. Yeah. That part of it gets forgotten, though. Unfortunately, where we find ourselves right now as a culture, the great replacement theory being played out, I think it's pretty clear that that is Gary.
Absolutely.
Is it a cycle that we'll have to, that we have to hit bottom first, or is there a possibility we don't?
In about 30 days.
30 days, okay.
Yeah, 29 days, whatever it is now. Yeah, we're going to find out, you know, what happens. I mean, everybody keeps pointing at election day. We even do that on in depth on Souls and Liberty. You know, we have a little, you know, 29 days to go, 27 days to go. Well, yeah, but, you know, there's another 70 days after that, before you get to the inauguration. You know, you don't become president.
And something tells me that even if the Bolsheviks or the Democratic Communists, as you want to put it this way, even if they supposedly lose the election, that's when the lawfare begins. You know that's coming, right? You understand that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can you put, Trump can put Donald Trump in prison, even though he's just won the election? Well, I mean, yes, he can.
He could be finding out.
He's president-elect. Mm-hmm. So things have gotten so bad and completely frayed and ripped apart that the effort to make – it's not even really a maintaining at this point. It's really trying to put things back together into some sort of coherent – patchwork or framework of something. I don't know that there is enough sort of true grit left to be able to do that undertaking. People will think an enormous number, I don't know if it'll be a majority, but an enormous number, tens and tens and tens and tens of millions of Americans will believe that you can never have violence, ever, even in the face of a tyrannical government cheating and, asserting itself over the will of the people and the Constitution and all the rest of it. That could just, you know, that's a bridge too far. You know, like, oh, we can't have any kind of violence. I'm sorry, I beg to differ. You know, I'm not encouraging violence necessarily as the first resort, but the United States of America was born in violence. Every single civilization that has ever come, made its appearance on the stage of world history, arrived in violence.
No tyrant ever says, okay, you don't want me around anymore? Okay, I'll go. Well, thanks.
I'll leave.
Yeah. Doesn't work that way, does it?
No, not at all. So the idea that there's this funny, we just have to kind of go along. You know, it depends what you're being told to go along with. And when we've had this sort of, you know, Robert Bork wrote his book Slouching Towards Gomorrah. And it really is that. It's just like, you know, you take a little step and then you take another little step and then you take another little step. And the steps are essentially so small, or at least relatively small, that you don't really recognize the movement until you and I at 63 can look back and say, there was never a kid in my class that had a peanut allergy, ever. We used to trade peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and I'm sure you did too.
Yeah,
at the, you know, cafeteria, you know, the school cafeteria tables. You know, peanut butter and jelly. This isn't the same country that you and I were raised in at all. It's in the middle of becoming something. What it's becoming, I guess, is still something of a mystery. But the trajectory, with the exception of that man, Donald Trump, and I have big misgivings on various things about Donald Trump. And, you know, Melania is Catholic and she came out in favor of abortion in her memoir. So, you know, I have lots of sort of Catholic social teaching, moral teaching, natural law problems with things that Donald Trump says and does. But all I have to do is look on the other side of the aisle.
Yeah,
and say, that cannot prevail.
And that's the way I look at it, too. And I think a Trump administration at this point in time would be a stopping of the hemorrhaging, or at least an attempt to stop the hemorrhaging at this point in time. And
yeah, yeah. I mean, at some point, you've got to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
And, you know, the elimination of DEI and all of this stuff. I mean, you think about these, you know, every little thing, you really honestly think, oh, my gosh, in the last, you know, what, 2-3 years, every single thing in America has come down to, like, the last thread. You know, Elon turns around and buys Twitter, yeah, where there would be none of this information known.
Did you ever think that you would see Elon Musk on stage with President Trump?
No.
I never thought that. To me, that was like, as far as I'm concerned, yeah, if someone had put it on my bet card, you know, 4 years ago, oh, yeah, yeah, Musk is going to be up on stage with President Trump at some point in a rally. Oh, come on. Come on. That's never going to happen.
And then he's going to jump up and down.
Like, yeah, exactly. And be very excited. All right. Hey, great talk, Gary. I appreciate you taking a few minutes. I know you're going to get ready for your show, too. But I appreciate you, you know, spending a few minutes with us and talking about this because, yeah, don't be under the illusion that we're not suffering under great replacement theory, looking for a more pliable populace. And I think that they're making sure that people that still have a standard aren't left in there. And Gary Michael Voris, once again, he's an Emmy Award-winning political news veteran and the host of In-Depth at Souls in Liberty, soulsinliberty.com. And I look forward to having you back at some point. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you, sir. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. We need the blessings. It's 3 minutes after 7. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
The Rogue Gardener, fertilizing your mind.
Adding some fertilizer to stimulate growth can be okay. I don't even do it anymore with trees and shrubs, but I do it with short-term crops, vegetables, annuals. Every day that you lose with those plants without having growth-type fertilizers to help them get growing, not established, because I'm not worried about the plant establishing in the hole. I want it to grow.
Talk to Stan Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning encore at 9, The Rogue Gardener on KMED, sponsored by Grange Co-op.
I'm Rick Dyer, Jackson County Commissioner. I've known Randy Sparacino for over 10 years, and I've watched Randy as a leader, as the chief of police for Medford and as Medford mayor, and worked with him on several issues that I know are important to the residents of Jackson County, and I trust his leadership. I'm Rick Dyer, and I support Randy Sparacino for Jackson County Commissioner.
Vote Randy Sparacino for Jackson County Commissioner. Paid for by Sparacino for Oregon, ID 20676.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
This is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, and we're going to have some open phone time here in the next few minutes. And I wanted to, I'm hoping to get Bill Simpson on to talk about this a little bit later. He's been kind of incommunicado. I don't know if he's been out hanging with the wild horses or he's out camping or whatever the case might be. But you know how we ended up getting the results over the weekend of the water, just how bad and how clay-filled and how horrible the Klamath River water is. And yet I'm reading stories this morning. I'm going to share some of the stories here in the next few minutes that are talking about fish are returning. And I have other people that are living down off the Klamath that are saying, no, the fish aren't returning, and it's a real problem. And who are we to believe here? I mean, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, you want to talk about major gaslighting going on between the conventional media organs, and I would have to count Oregon Public Broadcasting maybe amongst them. What is going on here? And I'm hoping to get some clarity, figure out what's going on. Is the water test that I got back in Grants Pass Water Lab, was that chocolate soup filled with clay and silt that was running through the main channel? Is that somehow conducive to the magic fish coming up? I don't know how it could, but maybe there are parts of the Klamath that are running up just fine. Maybe I'm not aware of the whole thing. Maybe you could help me, too, if you have any clarity that you can bring if you live down on it or know people who live on the river here. Because I'm hearing one thing from the people who are on the river and a completely different story from everyone else that is an agenda-based process type media. We can talk about that and more, and we'll have town hall news coming up and also the hand of the update, and then your calls on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley, owner at American Rancher Garage. I just want to say a huge thank you to our